the courtroom sits God Almighty as the judge upon his throne. Holiness is all around him as he judges sin and wrong. Satan is the old accuser. Accusations, all my sins he tries to bring as he points accusing fingers to where I stand before the throne. Then a voice behind me whispers, shout, I'm here, you're not alone. That's my Savior, my interceder, and he's standing in my place as he stands before the Father. Them that are redeemed with my blood, I bought his pardon. That's my child, and he is free. With his blood, he bought my pardon. I'm his child.
Enjoyed that. That was good. That sounded like a male-dominated song. Amen. That is great. All right, John chapter 3. Find that text in your Bible today. John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's okay. I think you'll recognize the words, some of them, that we'll read in just a moment in John chapter 3. That's the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John's Gospel. Chapter number 3. And a little bit behind time, but we'll buzz right through this and kind of planned it that way. I knew we would be a little late getting to the message, but I'm not worried about it. It was a blessing this morning to hear from the kids and this group of young men, and we'll enjoy more of that tonight. I think just for sake of time, I won't have you stand like we normally would. Let me just have you look at verse 16, that familiar verse. Probably the most familiar verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I just want to speak this morning on the subject of God's love. God's love, and particularly for kids. God's love for kids. Father, we thank you for the privilege to have this special Sunday, to recognize these groups of young people that, Lord, are so important to you, so important to a church. Father, I pray that you'll help me now in the time that we have to go through the message. Give us your power, both speaker and listener. I pray that everything that you want to be accomplished in this service will be accomplished. May your will be done in our hearts and lives this morning. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you for it and rejoice in all your good blessings we've already enjoyed today. We ask it in Christ's name and amen. Now, over the years, this Sunday has become very special to us, and I believe it's because the youth of Faith Baptist Church are vitally important not just for today on this special Sunday, but for the future as well. Now, when I mention the youth, I mean all of them. I mean those who come to church with dad and mom in a car, and those who come on the bus. Every one of them. Doesn't matter. They are all important. Children are important to us now because they are easier to reach than adults. I've not checked the statistics recently, but I know if you check them this afternoon, you will find that the vast majority of saved people, not religious people, not church-going people, born-again people, the vast majority of them got saved, got born again at a very early age. Very early. Somebody said to me just recently, seems like 80-90% of the people that get baptized here are children. That's because children are easier to reach for Christ than teenagers and adults. And the Catholic Church used to say, give us a child by age 7, we'll make him a Catholic for life. That's what they used to say. That was what they thought. And so young people, boys and girls, are much easier to reach than adults. And by the way, that's why Jesus, I mentioned this last week, that's why Jesus said to a big group of people, hey, adults, the children don't have to come to your level of understanding in order to be saved. All of you adults have to come to the faith of a little child. A little child. Because an adult will argue with you. Well, I think, I believe, and I. And you can talk to them all you want to out of the Word of God, but that doesn't matter. A child, you can show them the Bible verses, teach them what the Word of God says, and their little heart receives it. Okay? So they're easier to reach. Children are also important to us when we consider the future, because they are the future of churches. They're the future of ministries. They need to be taught now to serve the Lord. No matter what their vocation may be in life, they need to be serving the Lord. And if Jesus stays in heaven for some time, you know, the need to take the gospel to the world only becomes more urgent. So we are thrilled to have lots of youth in our church. Lots. And we're especially happy to be able to run these buses in the area to bring in young people to learn the Word of God. And again, let me say how thankful I am for the men, the women, the teenagers who make that all possible by serving on those buses. That is not an easy ministry, but they do it gladly and they do it faithfully, and I appreciate that. I cannot think of a better verse that defines why a church should have a bus ministry than the most familiar verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world. That's it. You know, I was introduced to the bus ministry before I left the Boys Ranch in Tennessee to go to Bible college. It was very, very late in my time there. More like the second or third Sunday before I left, Mike Hagee's wife, Maywin, asked the pastor if she could start a bus route on the hill, on the mountain, on Walden's Ridge, where the boys' home was located. She asked if she could start a bus route up there. And Pastor Strickland said she could, and Mike allowed some of us older boys to go on the bus to help. And I only rode a couple Sundays. To be honest with you, there was no program. There was a couple songs, but it was just pick up a few people, friends that the Hagees had made, and take them to church. That was the extent of it until I enrolled in Bible college, and I started working in the bus ministry there immediately. Jim Vineyard, at that time, was the bus director. And Brother Vineyard, being an ex-Green Beret, he did everything Green Beret method. And when you registered, there was no choice of, I'd like to be in this ministry or this ministry. It was him standing there. You're in Division I. You're in Division II. You're in Division III. You're in Division IV. And I got put in Division VI. That's how it was. We didn't argue. We didn't fuss. You don't fuss much with an ex-Green Beret, okay? And so we got put in the bus ministry, and that's where I really got introduced to a bus ministry. And my first bus route taught me so many lessons about ministry. It taught me that God can use a willing heart. You know, even if you don't have a lot up here, and don't run any further with that than what I'm saying, okay? God can use you if you're willing. Ralph Hansen was my bus captain. He was a senior. To be honest with you, Ralph had kind of lost his heart, was just kind of going through the motions, and that's just obvious. I got in the car with Ralph. I'm a Georgia boy in Chicago for the first time in my life. He takes me to a street, and he says, visit this street, and I'll be back such time to pick you up. And we were having a big picnic, had the bus ministry picnic in the fall, so we didn't stay out very long. And so I had maybe a couple hours to visit the street, and he took off. I'm in Chicago by myself, 19 years of age, and I'm going to visit this street. That was it. So I just started at the first house and just started knocking doors. And I had the material with me, you know, some tracks and some things about the bus ministry. And I went down the road and it was no answer, nobody home, no. And finally, this Hispanic lady came to the door and I told her about it. And she said, yeah, she said, I think so. And she gave me the names of their four children and their ages. And I wrote it all down. And after a while, I was done, went back to the street corner. Ralph picked me up. And I handed him the list, and I said, these kids are coming, supposed to come. And we took the bus there Sunday morning, knocking on the door, and here came all these kids out the door to go to church. That was my introduction. I knew nothing about it, but I had a heart to serve the Lord and try to reach people. And so it taught me that God can use a willing heart. Something else that first bus route taught me was that not every kid grew up like I did. Not every kid grew up like I did. You know, no one grows up in a perfect home because there's no perfect people. Nobody. But I grew up in a home where dad loved mom. Mom loved dad. And dad and mom loved the children. That's the kind of home I grew up in. And I think that's the kind of home God wants us to have, doesn't it? Dad loves mom. Mom loves dad. And dad and mom love the children. I never saw my dad and mom be physically abusive with each other, ever. In the 18 years I was in their home. In fact, one of the difficult parts for mom, as dad digressed into Alzheimer's, was him becoming physically ugly to her. In some ways, a little bit physically violent. Because she had never experienced from him, had never experienced that from him before, ever, ever. But on that bus route, I soon learned that not all kids grow up under the same circumstances. I remember one Sunday morning, I was on the bus and I was running doors, and I had this Spanish family by the last name of Maldonado. And I was, I ran up to the door and I always went to the back door to get those kids on the bus, to tell them the bus was there. And when I got there, I didn't notice that the door was a little bit ajar. And so I knocked hard on it, and as I did, it opened up. And it opened up far enough for me to see into the kitchen. That's where the door entered into the kitchen. And when I looked into the kitchen table was on its side. There was glasses, the breakfast glasses, all the breakfast dishes, the cereal, the milk. Everything was all over the floor. The three little kids, there were four kids, three or four kids that rode the bus there. Two or three of them were standing in a corner, just huddled in a corner. And there sat Mrs. Maldonado in a chair with a towel to her face, blood dripping out of her nose and her mouth. I said, Mrs. Maldonado, what in the world happened? She said, my husband spent all night last night out drinking at the tavern. By the way, I had street corners in that bus route area where I serve, where on every corner was a tavern. Every corner. And she said, he came home drunk this morning in a foul mood. We were eating breakfast, and I said something that aggravated him, and he threw the table over, took his foot and kicked her in the face. Grabbed the oldest kid and left. I did my best to comfort her. I said, what do you want the kids to do? She said they need to go on to church. And so I took them on to church. I never have forgotten that scene ever. I remember how sick to my gut that made me feel to see that situation. And I'm not suggesting that everybody's family that rode my bus from Chicago was like that. Not suggesting that at all. I had all kinds of families whose kids rode the bus from Chicago. But I want to tell you something. That was an eye-opener for a young man who grew up in a home where love was expressed. It was an eye-opener to me to realize that not all kids grow up under the same circumstances. Not all of them do. Something else that it taught me, that bus route taught me to love all people. Love all people. I've told this story before, so some of you will have heard it before. Just bear with me. But I remember being on the bus that first Sunday. Kids were coming onto the bus. And then we pulled up in front of Terry's house. I didn't know Terry, but Ralph said to me, he said, "Terry, come with me." And he said, "You're going to need to know this." So we went off the bus up to the house. And here on the door, on the porch of the little house there in Chicago, was this afflicted young adult lady, probably 23, 24, 25 years of age. Her name was Terry. And she was severely handicapped and afflicted. She was not, she could only move by way of a wheelchair. She couldn't walk. She is laying, her legs are out, and she's sitting on that porch there. And Ralph put his arm around her back, put his other arm underneath her two legs, picked her up, and said, "Okay, Terry, time to get on the bus." And he told me, he said, "Now, Terry, this is what we have to do every Sunday to get Terry on the bus." And so he took her and he put her in the front seat. I won't forget that, put her in the front seat of the bus. And then we got to church. He took her off and put her in a wheelchair. And they had a Sunday school class for people like Terry, afflicted people. And, of course, Ralph was off the bus route. I remember we had a bus driver by the name of Ed Deneve. And he was sick one Sunday, couldn't drive the bus. So Ralph drove it. And I am running the doors. And I'm running all these doors and getting these kids to come. And then we pull up in front of Terry's house. And I'm going to go get Terry. Now, you bear with me, and please don't crucify me. I had never grown up around afflicted children. We didn't have anybody afflicted in our house. We didn't have anybody afflicted like that at church or school. I'd never grown up around people like that. And Terry couldn't talk. I'm not making fun. Her, you know, her hands and her feet are all bent in, and all she could do is, that's all she could do. And I remember how I felt when I bent down to pick her up. And I'm sad to say this. I hate it, but I was tense. Are you with me? I was tense. It was just awkward for me. And I got her to the bus and put her in the front seat. And then as we got home, I took her back and set her on the porch. Well, after a few months, Ralph left the bus route, and I was the bus captain. And so it became my... And I'm using this word on purpose. It became my privilege.
David.
Every Sunday to pick that dear lady up and put her in the front seat. And we always had cookies and something to drink. There was a place, I forget where it was, there was a place in Chicago. Somebody in the bus ministry found it. You could buy a big old 5-pound box of cookies for $2. And, buddy, we went there. So every week I had one of those boxes on the bus. And Terry always wanted a cookie. That was a mess. She tried to eat it, just the drool. And she'd drink, try to drink, and it would go all down her blouse. And just make a mess. But we always gave it to her. And I would never forget the one Sunday we had dropped her off at the Sunday school class. And I got all the kids on the bus. And we pulled around to pick up Terry at the handicapped class. And Tom and Jerry Bowes were the teachers in that class. And Jerry Bowes came pushing Terry's wheelchair out of the classroom. And she said to me, she said, "Brother Angel," she said, "I really think that today the light came on for Terry as she trusted Christ as her Savior." I really believe that. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Now, I know there are some, and you got to be careful of young men who think they know everything. Okay? Young men don't know everything. In fact, they know very little sometimes. And you say, "Well, a person like that can't be saved." I'll remind you, it takes the faith of a child to be saved, according to the words of Christ. The words of Christ. All you adults, got to lower yourself to the faith of a little child in order to get saved. That's what he said. Terry rode the bus faithfully. One Sunday, our bus broke down, and I got the bus taken care of, and I couldn't make all the pickups, so I went around to all the stops to tell him. I went to Terry's house. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Her mother said Terry sat on the porch till noon, waiting for the bus to come. She would not come back in the house, wouldn't let me bring her back in the house. And I learned to love all people. After 3 years, they moved me to another bus route, became a division leader. I'd been on that route for 3 years. Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, blacks, Polish, young, old, very stable middle class, very poor, on low income homes. I had it all. I had it all. And that last Sunday, I remember your dad came to pick you up. Remember Joyce was fixing to go home for the summer, and her dad came to pick her up from college. And he rode the bus with me that Sunday. And I had to say goodbye to those kids, and I was not prepared for the emotions I would go through. I bawled like a baby to say goodbye to those kids and those young people, because I'd been with them, many of them, for 3 years. And from there, it was on to Iowa. I was bus director there for all 10 years. And then the Lord brought me here. And for all these 30-plus years, we've been running these buses. Before I got here, this church was running buses throughout this area. And God has provided the financial need. And thousands, those buses have transported thousands of kids to church. Thousands. Well, you don't know. No, no. They don't all get saved. No, they don't all get saved. Like all adults don't get saved. Well, it doesn't stick. Oh, really? Isaiah and Cherith were just down in Wiley, Texas. Wiley, Texas. I told you this already. And there's this young man that comes up to Cherith after they learn what church they're from, what she's from, and he says, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, I was saved as a kid in that church. I rode the bus one Sunday. One Sunday. On a special day to that church. And went forward, and they talked with me about trusting Christ, and I got saved. Now, he's married, 3 or 4 kids, and one of the trustees of the church there in Wiley, Texas. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful ministry. And you got people sitting here, serving, working, tithing, faithful adults who started out at this place as a little snotty-nosed kid. Amen. I'm glad you said amen, Larry, because I was going to point you out. Amen. And not just Larry, others. 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 Now I want to say, I'm going to finish this morning with a couple of truths from this verse. Listen very carefully. How can you talk about God's love and do it justice? When I look at this verse, I can look at a couple things. I look, first of all, in verse 16, I look at the love of God's rarity. The love of God's rarity. What do I mean by rarity? Do you realize how rare God's love is? Because the Bible says that God did not just love the world, He so loved the world. You take that word so out of that verse, you change God, the meaning of God's love completely. You can't leave that little word so out. That means that He loved the world in a special way, a rare way. You know, if you go to eat some food somewhere and it's good, somebody says, how good was it? It's good. The place was nice, it's good food. But you go eat somewhere, and I mean the food is over the top, and somebody says to you, how good was it? It was so good. You go to some place for recreation and you have much fun and you tell somebody, we had so much fun. That little word so makes such a big difference. And that little word so makes that kind of difference in this verse about God's love. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for our sin. And people, look, it would be one thing if God loved a world full of people who loved Him so much that He gave His Son to die for their sin. It'd be one thing if God did that. These people love God. God loves them. I'm going to give you my Son to die for you. But people, that's not how it was. God loved a world full of people who hated Him. Hated Him. You say, how do you know they hated God? Look at what they did to His Son. They slapped Him. They spit in His face. They put a bag over His head hit him in the face and said, "Who testify, prophesy, who did hit you?" They put a crown of thorns. You say, what was that? That was man's inner feeling, for the most part, toward God. God loved a world full of people who cared nothing for Him. There is just no comparison to the love of God. It reaches to all people of all ages, of all ethnicities, all around the world. And kids need to know that God loves them. They need to know that. You know, they did this, some of the first songs that these kids learned to sing when they come to church. They sang this morning. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why do they start learning that song? Because you can't get any better than that. And then they love the song, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I think about the love of God's rarity. And let me say this morning. I think about the love of God's reach. And what I mean by that can be found in verse 17. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Do you see that? What, folks? Do you see the reach of God's love? The world. The world. There are no racial exceptions to how far God's love reaches. There are no financial exceptions to how far God's love reaches. There are no educational exceptions to how far God's love reaches. There are no cultural exceptions to how far God's love reaches. The opportunity to be saved is the same for all people worldwide. Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And you know what? Because of that, that reaches to every person, everywhere, all the time. People, are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Some do, some don't. You know what? Listen, there's only one qualification to being one who Jesus came to save. Only one. Are you ready for this qualification? Here it is. Are you a sinner? And if the answer to that question is yes, you qualify for the salvation that Christ offers. You qualify. That's everybody. That's everybody. Nobody left out of that. Because every man, every little boy, every little girl, every man child, every woman child is born into this world with this sin nature. So are you a sinner? Yes. Okay, you qualify for salvation. You can't qualify for salvation if you think you've never sinned. But if you know you're a sinner, you qualify for salvation. Now, you got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. And you got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day, like He said. Like the Bible teaches. You got to believe that. But I'm going to tell you where it all starts. It all starts with, are you a sinner? It's where it started for me. It's where the light came on. The realization, I am lost. I'm a sinner. And then just a few hours after that, after a church service, I trusted Christ as my Savior. You know, this is only our second Sunday back in this remodeled auditorium. And on this second Sunday back, one of the first things that we had happen in this auditorium is the bus kids came over and sang for us. I think God did that. As nice and as nice as this is and as it looks, brother, we about to never be so highfalutin that we can't enjoy a choir box full of kids singing about Christ. You know, we moved into this auditorium on Father's Day 2001. So almost 20 years ago now, we moved in this auditorium. Do you know we moved in June, Father's Day, the first funeral conducted in this auditorium was in July. You know what it was? It was a double funeral. It was two little girls who rode our buses to church, who lived in a trailer park on 45 right south of Kankakee. And I don't remember all the details, but there was a domestic fight between the man and the woman. And the man started the trailer on fire on purpose. And those two little girls, elementary school girls, not teenagers, elementary school girls perished in that fire. So the first funeral I did here on this platform, we had two little caskets down here. I believe their names were Diamond and Crystal. Somebody could help me with that. Still remember that. Diamond and Crystal. I never forget that. Thank God we checked our records in our office, both of those little girls, after a junior church service, had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, both of them. You know why we run buses? Because not everybody lives to be 15. Not everybody lives to be 24. That's life. Not everybody lives that long. And these young children, all over the world, and including the Kankakee community, this whole area, they need to know that God loves them. Jesus loves them. That's why we do it. And by the grace of God, we'll keep doing it. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll pray. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming, being in this service. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. So let me just finish this by asking a couple questions here. I wonder this morning, who would say, Brother Angel, Pastor Angel, here's the question. I know for sure if I died today that I'm going to heaven. I know that for a Bible reason. I know it for sure. I know that. It's not because I feel like it or I think so, but I know for a Bible reason that I'm going to heaven. If you can say that honestly before God, and let me just say, just be honest, okay? Your church, everybody, members, visitors, front, back, side to side, all of us. Let's just be honest. I know I'm going to heaven when I die for a Bible reason. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning wherever you sit? Just be honest about it. Thank you. Thank you. You take your hands down. Now, different places, there was a few folk that didn't raise their hands. I appreciate your honesty. So here's my second question. Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to have that settled according to God's word, that when you die, you will go to heaven? And friends, you can know that. It's in the Bible. We have ladies that can talk to ladies. We have men that can talk to men from the Bible, showing you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I just wonder this morning, with nobody looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's real personal time. But if that's you, you'd say, Pastor Angel, I would like to know that I am on my way to heaven for a Bible reason. I really would. I would just like to have a closing prayer, not mention, not by name, but just pray for you generically that God would speak to your heart about that. So if that's you this morning, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you'd like to know, would you just slip your hand in the air right where you sit, slip it up, take it right back down. This is not becoming a member of Faith Baptist Church. This is not joining the church, anything like that. This is just knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Anybody like that this morning? I would really like to know that. Anybody? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Now, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and you're uncomfortable raising your hand, and all you got to do in just a moment when we have the invitation is these men are standing down the front down here. Just slip out and tell one of them, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. They'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning for a Bible reason. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and never baptized, I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe that's why you came today. We're ready for that. But most of all today, just the most important thing is knowing for sure that you're saved. So if you don't know that for sure, and you'd like to, I invite you when the music begins and we stand in just a moment to make your way to one of these men and just say, I would like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Father, I thank you for the privilege this morning to talk about the bus ministry and to emphasize the importance of children hearing about your love. And God, I pray that you will please, please work in hearts. And Lord, if there are some today who don't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, and there's that growing, gnawing interest inside of them, I pray that your power will draw them to Christ today and help them to be saved. Father, I pray that you'll do a good work. Thank you for all these little boys and girls, the teenagers, the ones that we saw, the ones that we didn't see this morning, who come to church. I pray that you'll help them all to come to a saving knowledge of Christ in their life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, if you'll play us a song of invitation. If you're not sure that you're saved, just step out. Tell one of these men down here, you know, I'd like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. This is not about joining the church. This is not about becoming a Baptist. Nothing like that. Just slip out of your seat. Tell one of them, I'd like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Somebody will take a Bible and show you this morning how to be saved. Now's the time to come while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. It's a very personal time. It's a great time for you to get this matter settled between you and God. Get it all fixed to know that you're on your way to heaven. No doubting about it. God's been merciful to you. If you're a teenager or an adult, to give you life this long, to give you life and breath. And today, you might have heard the gospel for the first time. Christ died, was buried, and rose again to save us from our sin. Would you come this morning and let somebody show you how to be saved? That's the thing. Don't hesitate. Don't be scared. We'd love for you to come as God works on your heart. Nobody can twist your arm, but if the Spirit of God is working on your heart, you ought to respond. Come. Let somebody show you how to be saved. Father, I thank you for your wonderful, wonderful, precious love. And I pray, God, that you'll minister to our hearts through the truth of your word about your love. Thank you for its rarity. Thank you for its reach. It's for everybody who's willing to admit that they're a sinner and need to be saved. And I pray, God, that you'll work on hearts. Maybe folk this morning don't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And Lord, I pray that even this week, your Spirit would work on their heart and help draw them to Christ. And I'll be careful to thank you for it. Once again, I praise your name for the wonderful service we've had this morning with all the young people. And we look forward to what we're going to enjoy tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.